He had offers at the D2 and NAIA level. He decided he really wanted to play at the highest level of basketball, played on 4 teams over the summer in preparation, and chose this school after seeing what he thought was a spectacular campus, walked on and made the team. About a month later, we came for the parents' weekend, and he was very swollen. And my husband and I were a little bit concerned, but we thought, oh, it's just college. We got home, and around the middle of October, a month later, we get a call that he's so dizzy and unstable, they had to lay him down during practice, and then the odyssey began. Every kind of doctor's appointment schedule, from pulmonary specialist to our pediatrician to infectious disease, and everybody treated him like a piece and part. And then they would say, well, this is an allergy and mold doesn't do anything in the body. And I said to the doctor, is that all you have? Because I was astonished that here's my son so drastically ill. And he said, yeah. They would try to prescribe Xanax, and Gabe would call me and say, Mom, I'm sick, I'm not depressed, and he would never fill those prescriptions. November 18th, he was riding with a junior in a car, and the junior said, I almost died in that dorm room my freshman year. And he said, I think it's all the mold. And when I picked him up, he had yellow patches, like this, all over. And he quivered, and he was so weak. And he held my arm like this. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. I have pictures of all of his texts, and to be a mother and read these day after day, and your kid's going to this appointment and that appointment, and you know, I've got 4 kids. You know, it was, and you trust him and you believe him, but nobody really did.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Surviving Mold podcast. Today we're going to be hearing a very powerful story about Kathy's son Gabe, who nearly lost everything, including his Division I basketball career, all because of mold. It's true, mold grows in water-damaged buildings. In fact, in one of the most recent surveys, up to 50% of residential and commercial buildings have water damage. You know what that means? A perfect environment for mold to grow. Now, only 25% of the American population is actually susceptible to mold-borne illness. But you won't believe how many people are still suffering with chronic symptoms to this day simply because they haven't been diagnosed. We're talking about Sears today. Today, we're going to deep dive into Gabe Adsich's story. He went from nothing, very small, working very hard to play basketball and move his way up. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We have Kathy here today to discuss her amazing journey with Sears and her son's journey as well. It wasn't only your son that suffered from this, was it?
Ironically, I have been ill with fibromyalgia since 2005. And after we brought Gabe home from college, very, very ill, Dr. Shoemaker had me run the same labs, and lo and behold, I carry the same gene as Gabe.
Wow, wow.
Which left me susceptible.
I mean, tell us a story, just really, really quick. Gabe was going to college in Texas, really excited. He had just gotten to this new college. He had just gotten on the Division I basketball team. The next thing you know, he collapsed. Tell us what happened.
Quickly, he had offers at the D2 and NAIA level. He decided he really wanted to play at the highest level of basketball, played on 4 teams over the summer in preparation, and chose this school after seeing what he thought was a spectacular campus, walked on and made the team. About a month later, we came for the parents' weekend, and he was very swollen. And my husband and I were a little bit concerned, but we thought, oh, it's just college. We got home, and around the middle of October, a month later, we get a call that he's so dizzy and unstable, they had to lay him down during practice, and then the odyssey began.
Wow. Now, when you first heard that Gabe was having problems, what did you think was the issue?
Well, the very first thing besides the swelling was he said, my fingers are tingling. I have one of my arms kind of numb. And I said, maybe you need a massage. You know, every parent comes up with the quick solution. You know, we drop our kids off to college. It's their freshman year. We teach them a lot of things, but we never worry about the air they're going to breathe. Never crossed our mind. So it was really these little things, and his eyes started to droop, and he told me he was tasting blood in his mouth. It was very strange, bizarre problems, as well as nausea, headaches. But those can be attributed to a lot of things. So this was odd.
Yeah, it seems that some of the symptoms for SEERS are actually really similar to other diseases as well, such as Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, like you said, and other chronic sinus infections, chronic pain, allergies, multiple sclerosis, and a lot of people seem to kind of deal with mold as if it's an allergy issue.
Well, when I brought Gabe home, we were on every kind of doctor's appointment schedule, from pulmonary specialist to our pediatrician to infectious disease, and everybody treated him like a piece and part. And then they would say, well, this is an allergy and mold doesn't do anything in the body. And really only Dr. Shoemaker understands what mold actually does in the body and the brain.
So he's going to these other doctors. You're not making any progress. How did that make you feel?
Well, one, I said to the doctor, is that all you have? Because I was astonished that here's my son so drastically ill. And he said, yeah. And even our pediatrician, who's a wonderful, wonderful person, said, I have nothing to offer. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
And so it was really the Surviving Mold website that saved Gabe's life.
So you found the Surviving Mold website. How did you find it? Were you just searching the symptoms? I mean, what drew you to the website? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. So Gabe progressed to get ill from the day he collapsed in practice. He still, the team doctor was great. They sent him for brain scans, every major organ, and nothing could be found. Finally, they did an endoscopy and a colonoscopy, and he had grade C esophagitis, inflammatory gastritis, and they did find highly aggressive cancer cells in his colon. It was then, that was the first week of November, but even Gabe said, no matter what she found doesn't attribute to my droopy eyelid or the blood in my mouth. I mean, he was even bright enough to realize that, yeah, they found that there, but what about these issues? Because it really, he was affected head to toe. And every traditional doctor, even the team docs and the team psychologist, thought it was one thing. And he had tachycardia, so the team psychologist thought it was anxiety. And they would try to prescribe Xanax, and Gabe would call me and say, Mom, I'm sick, I'm not depressed, and he would never fill those prescriptions. And then about, it was November 18th, he was riding with a junior in a car, and the junior said, I almost died in that dorm room my freshman year. And he said, I think it's all the mold.
And that was the spark that said...
That was November 18th, it was 12:30 in the afternoon, I can remember where I was standing. I said, oh my God, Gabe, that's it. So I pulled up the 37 symptoms. He had 35. And I said, go in your dorm, climb on your bed, take your camera on your iPhone, look in that vent, take pictures. And we saw it right then. I forwarded those pictures to a mold company in Chicago, and they told me to have him step out until we got the mold report. They brought in one of their mold people on Monday.
So you paid to have someone go into his school, go into the dorm,
yes,
and inspect his room outside of the university?
I didn't want the university involved. I wanted a report that had no attachments to
so
anybody that would
party,
matter.
Third party, objective, independent.
Yes. Whether it was true or wasn't true, I just needed it completely clear.
Just give me the answer.
Just give me the answer, because he'd been so sick and he'd become so degraded over time. I have pictures of all of his texts, and to be a mother and read these day after day, and your kid's going to this appointment and that appointment, and you know, I've got four kids, you know, it was, and you trust him and you believe him, but nobody really did, because you look normal, you look good, but he was so fatigued. He had headaches for 4 weeks. He was at a movie one night and he broke out in profuse sweating, and he called me and said, I'm sweating terribly. And I walked him through tachycardia episodes in his dorm room, and every time he'd lay on the bed, so his bed was here and the vent was 5 feet overhead. They had a very humid, hot fall, and his HVAC system never shut off. And that was where we found the black, hairy mold inside that system.
So once you got the report back and it said...
So we moved him immediately to a hotel, him and his roommate. His roommate had been in and out of the hospital. They'd given him prednisone twice to open up his airway.
Is it true that his roommate, weren't they saying that his roommate was suffering from mono, was it?
Yes, they did say mono, but he also had clubbing of his feet, which Dr. Shoemaker says that has to do with the inability for oxygen, the three ATP to get to the oxygen beds. And so he had this clubbing every night, and he'd get up and he'd have cramping in his feet. And so he had other symptoms other than just the throat, but that's all they focus on. And if you look at people, it's a white cell issue when it comes to our HLAs. So Gabe and I are 11352B carriers. And that is a white cell issue that we don't, our bodies do not recognize the enemy. And so if you think about viruses, if your white cells aren't working right, what happens with viruses? They probably go wild, right? So because your white cells are confused. And it was Shoemaker that discovered.
Wow. So
this anomaly.
So you sent someone to the dorm room, they inspected it, you got the report back, it's for sure mold. What was the next thing that you did? You went to the Surviving Mold site, you found that?
Before that.
Oh, that was before.
Because
that.
I knew in my heart we had the answer. When I saw those pictures and I talked to that company in Chicago, and they said, we don't diagnose over the phone. I said, okay, I'm your sister. What do you tell your nephew? He said, get out and don't look back. And so Gabe took his ID and his key and just the clothes he had on his body, washed everything and left. He left his room completely as it was that afternoon on November 18th and never stepped back in there. All his books, his computers, his shoes, all of his basketball gear, everything abandoned.
Just stay there.
Because when I got on the Surviving Mold website, number one, they usually want you to do a vision test. Well, Gabe was so sick, that was the last thing on my mind. But I did see where you have to abandon everything. I'm like, okay, let's just abandon it until we figure this out. So we abandoned everything, moved him to a hotel. Sadly, he got to the hotel, took his camera, looked in the vent. It was full of mold at the hotel. So the next morning, the hotel came in and changed out the whole vent system. So we had to get in touch with them. And so a lot of places are sick. So this isn't just about schools.
So you're saying that this issue is rampant. It's everywhere.
I had no idea until we experienced this. It is as important as lead paint at one time, but this is a silent poisoning. My child was silently poisoned.
So once you went to the Surviving Mold site, you know, a lot of people do use the visual contrast sensitivity test to figure out if they have mold, but you're beyond that. You're like,
oh no, I started just, I kept saying silently to myself, thank you, Dr. Shoemaker. Thank you. You know, whoever's putting this up, I watched all his YouTube clips. I knew we had mold. I read all the pros about him, all the cons about him. I knew he was ahead of his time. I'm like, he's got this. I saw his pyramid of what you had to do. And the very first thing, you have to 100% live mold free. And that is not easy. And I think that is the biggest challenge anybody facing this dilemma will have. But when your health, and in Gabe's case, his life depended on it, I didn't care.
Kathy, once you figured out from the mold company in Chicago that mold was in his room, you moved everything out, you got him in the hotel, did you start to feel like things were progressing in the right direction?
I didn't know.
So how did you go about figuring out exactly what the issue was? You needed something concrete. You needed some evidence. What did you do?
I use the Shoemaker protocol, and he said that there's biomarker labs, and on the Surviving Mold website, they were kind enough to list, give these to your physician. I printed them off. I told Gabe, take them into the team doctor, tell him I need these labs run.
So doctors traditionally don't run these labs.
When we brought those results to his pediatrician, she was astonished. She said, I'd never run any of these. I would never test these labs.
So this issue could actually be solved quite easily if most doctors were testing for the right markers.
Like that.
Wow. So you got the lab slips and were realizing that doctors aren't really testing for these labs. Was it difficult to have done?
Well, poor Gabe had to put up with the team docs kind of going, okay, we'll run them.
So they're questioning you this whole time.
Well, I don't think they believed. I think they wanted to help him. But all of this was so not their training.
They're just skeptical of it.
Skeptical and, yeah, didn't really believe him. So
when you went there, you're getting the labs done, how did you feel? How did it make him feel?
Well, I felt terrible because he called me. He said, Mom, I don't think I can make it through.
The labs. He can't make it through the labs.
Nope. And they're drawing the labs. And he said, I'm down on the floor. That's how sick he was. And I said, okay, let's get you some food. Let's get something. So I stayed on the phone with him all the way back into the store. The lab was right off the grocery store. And he said, okay, I think I can do it. And I go, okay, Uber's picking you up, getting you to the airport to bring you home. And we FaceTimed the whole Uber ride. And he's like, Mom, the guy said, I can't get on the plane. I can't get on the plane. My driver's like, you can't fly like this. And he had his head out the Uber window, but he wanted to get home to get treatment and help as soon as possible. And he had such a tough time on the plane, they actually moved him to the front first class and gave him ice bags.
Wow. On the plane. So you had these labs done and they came back. What did you learn?
His TGF beta 1 was at the severe level.
For those who don't know, what is TGF beta 1?
Well, this is very complex, and that's why Dr. Shoemaker is being recommended for a spectacular award, because this has to do with your innate immune response. And TGF beta 1.
Your innate immune response.
So everything, from my understanding with medicine, is we focus on the adaptive immune response, which has to do with cancers and diabetes, and it's more on the treatment side, on the downregulation, not on the upregulation.
So what I'm hearing you say, if I hear this right, is that most of the doctors today are solving problems with symptoms, whereas the information that you're getting for the mold is more focused on the biomarkers to create a cure. Is that right?
Going back, I've been sick since 2005. Nobody's used the word cure. When I had a conversation with Dr. Shoemaker, he said, I think we have a cure. And it all has to do with focusing on these biomarkers. And yes, symptom clusters to get the right diagnosis. So he does use symptom clusters, does the VCS testing. But now with the future of genomics, it's the sky's the limit. They're going to be able to get this quick.
So you talk about genomics. We had the labs done. They came back. Did it give you more certainty? Did it give you a pathway to certainty to know for sure this is the problem?
They were all out of bounds, and his CBC had been normal.
So what was the next step?
Well, fortunately, we had Dr. Shah on board, and he was willing to do the Shoemaker protocol, even though he wasn't a trained Shoemaker doctor. I connected the two, and he just started implementing. He knew Gabe was in a safe environment now that he was home, and we started the treatment. So on those biomarkers, I mean, everything from his testosterone to his clotting factors to TGF-beta-1 to C4A, all of these markers were bad. And our pediatrician is like, I would have never tested clotting factors. He's a healthy 19-year-old athlete. She was even stunned.
So you've now gone through a bunch of doctors. You finally landed on Dr. Shah, who's worked with you for a little while. He's using the Shoemaker protocol.
Yes.
When you got the labs, what did you do next? Because I feel like you got these markers, right? Was that through the genomic testing? I mean, the labs
just
that you
the
did,
blood labs.
That was just a blood
lab. And we found out that he had a dreaded genotype, the HLA, which Dr. Shoemaker discovered, I think in 2008, were the HLAs. And there's six that are part of that 24% of the population that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And he's 11352B, so that was the first identifier. I set a conference call with Dr. Shoemaker, my very first call with him, and I'm on the phone talking about Gabe's case. Now, mind you, I've already started chlorostyramine.
Kathy, once you got him out of the school, right, and you put him in the hotel, did he start getting better right away?
No.
Do patients normally start getting better right away once they're removed from the mold environment?
I think they'll feel somewhat better. But the chronic problems in their body does not go away until they sequester it out.
Wow. So, okay, what was the next step? You had him seeing these doctors. He's not getting the attention that's solving the problem, you know? You told us earlier that he was being given prescriptions of Xanax, that he was being given these antidepressant drugs, calling you and saying, Mom, I'm not depressed. There's something wrong here. So what was the next step? Because I'm sure as a mom, you're feeling doubt and question in your ability to help him.
You know, when your kid is sick, I was scrambling. I said, let me do some more research. I was digging up everything because I would put all of his symptoms into the computer and see what would pop up. I mean, he was just from head to toe full of symptoms. And once we got him to the hotel and we started some of the treatment, he was still having a lot of problems. And because it takes a long time for it to be out of the body, and you have to be out of a moldy environment, and the hotel ended up having mold. So I got a call the first week of December, and he was having severe tachycardia. And I walked the ambulance drivers through his situation, and he ended up at the hospital. I got the call at 2:30 California time, and I hopped on the 5:30 flight. And when I picked him up, he had yellow patches like this all over. And he quivered, and he was so weak, and he held my arm like this. Don't leave me. Don't leave me.
Wow. Wow. Kathy, you've been through a whole lot. So it's December now.
Yep.
What's the next step? What is the next step in the treatment? How did you know concrete wise that this was the problem?
Well, when I had brought him home for the short stint at Thanksgiving, I took him in to Dr. Shaw's office and we did a urine test. Mm-hmm. And we grew out the same molds from his urine that matched the mold report from Chicago. And it was our last day on campus because Dr. Shaw called and said he needs treatment. He has 5x the amount of mold in his body than is what is normal. Now, that's not part of Dr. Shoemaker's protocol, but it was one more defining aspect that put all these puzzle pieces together. And I happened to be with the campus officials, and they listened to that conversation. I put it on speaker so that they heard that dorm, that environment of which they told him he needed to take care of, not them, is what made him so sick.
So once you found out the school was the environment, Gabe is so sick he hasn't been playing basketball for some time. It looks like his future in basketball is slowly waning away.
Oh God, we didn't even worry about basketball.
It was just out of the picture.
Oh God, no. Lowest important factor. Kid was so bloody sick.
So after the urine, after the labs,
yeah.
What was the pathway to certainty? I mean, you know, I know Dr. Shoemaker has an evidence-based protocol, so he won't work with people unless it's for sure a mold issue. So how do you figure out it is for sure that pathway to certainty?
So we went to do an MRI, a neuroquant MRI, which in 2014, the FDA approved that it would show a fingerprint of mold. And so we tried, and Gabe couldn't get through it. So we left, and we went to try again, and it couldn't do it. So it took us a couple of weeks to get him in that actual machine. So finally, the third try, I actually went in and stayed in there with him and helped him through it. And we finally got the CSRS diagnosis from his brain MRI neuroquant. He had several areas of the brain that had severe edema and atrophy.
Kathy, you've been working with so many doctors. He was finally in the hotel. He was out of the mold environment. Did you feel, since you had already worked with so many other people, that you needed to know for sure that mold was the issue? I'm sure you had some doubt in your mind at the time.
I wanted 100% evidence. We had the pictures, we'd taken his urine, we got the mold report on that room, we were starting to put the pieces together. I sent him for all the biomarker labs. We looked at the clusters, we walked through all the clusters, the symptom clusters. Next thing you know, we did the special MRI that showed a fingerprint. And then lastly, we went into the genome and did a genomics study to show that it was a fingerprint of mold.
Wow, wow. How often did he practice?
I think he was in his basketball shoes at least 6 to 7 days a week.
So once you knew where Gabe was going to college, were you excited for his basketball career? Did you know from the get-go, like, was he recruited to this school?
He was not recruited at this school. He put it in his mind that he was going to step on that campus and he was going to show them that he earned a spot on the team. And he did.
When you dropped off Gabe at college, did you feel prepared? Did you feel like he was ready for that experience?
Oh, for sure. He's a fall birthday, so he's almost 19 when he goes to college. And I'm not an overly protective mother, if you can believe it or not. But we left him, obviously the sad goodbyes, but we had an agreement. We'd talk on Sundays.
You felt good.
Great.
You felt like he was ready.
I looked, the dorms were beautiful. Camp is spectacular, you know?
So how did you feel when you got the phone call that he had collapsed on the court?
Well, you don't know. He's a freshman in college. You know, as a parent, you kind of go, well, man, what's he doing?
Was he out drinking?
Right. I mean, let's be honest.
Did he have a wild, crazy party?
What else is he doing in his life, right? I mean, in my heart of hearts, I didn't think so. And the Big 12 has massive drug testing. So, it didn't match. But I also am not too narrow to think that it couldn't be my son. But the symptoms were odd. You know, losing sensation in a limb, walking sideways, droopy eyes, forgetfulness. That didn't really fit into a profile of misbehaviors.
How did you discover Dr. Shoemaker and the Shoemaker protocol?
When I was pretty sure it was mold after seeing the pictures and getting the mold report, I started scrambling. I mean, I was on the computer 2-3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out what the implications were because he was so ill. They'd found the cancer cells. He had so many issues that I wanted to get on this and address it and follow a protocol to a T in the Surviving Mold website and all of the Shoemaker podcasts.
So Kathy, I know that you did these labs and the labs aren't normal, but for most people, is there something more simple? Is there a way for people to see if they're suffering from mold-related illness?
Well, I think first, to run the vision test. It's readily accessible on the Surviving Mold website. You can test yourself, and if you fail, you need to go to a doctor and find out if you're a HLA carrier and run those extra labs.
Okay. From my understanding, Kathy, the visual contrast sensitivity test is one of those measures of neurologic functions of the vision called contrast. You know, the eye is one of the most sensitive parts of the body, and related to toxin exposure, it seems like the simple VCS test can really give people an answer in minutes. What was your experience with the VCS test?
Well, because we were so frantic with his level of demise, we didn't get right to the VCS test.
But you went further.
We started right to clearing out. I knew he was sick, but now in retrospect, I tested myself.
With the VCS?
And I failed. After he was already on chlorostyramine for 30 days and he passed, and I failed until I was on chlorostyramine for 60 days.
Wow.
And I had never tested myself. Didn't know about it until him.
You think
every school needs to have a screening at third grade using this quick VCS test, and if the child fails, that they are sent and have some blood work. Because the sooner we catch them, it's a progressive illness. It doesn't leave the body until it's sequestered out.
Mm-hmm. So, Kathy, thank you. In our next episode, we're going to find out just what the school did to remediate the situation. Would they clean up the room, or were they going to deal with a camera crew? Like, subscribe, and share this podcast if you found it useful, if you found good information out of it, if you feel like you're suffering from mold-related symptoms. Check out the VCS test on survivingmold.com, where you will know in 15 minutes if it really is the problem. Thanks for watching the Surviving Mold podcast. We'll see you next time.